everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Cleveland Live Podcast Show. Sunday, we're going to get this show up, and we're probably going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shows. I'm at least going to try to get them up. If we don't get none, then we'll get many up as we can, okay? So don't, all of y'all who listen to the show and everything, don't worry. We will get these shows up. All right? So how much do y'all know about the entertainment world? How much y'all know about the past entertainment world? And how many African-Americans was on TV and in the movies during the 60s, 50s, 40s, and 30s? Can you name some shows that had little children, little black kids in it during the 30s? I bet you can. You know, the Three Deuces, they had a popular black guy always in there. Now, these shows were meant to be in the movies because they didn't have TV during the 30s, 30s, 40s, all right? And they had a variety, a lot of black African-American actors. Even though things wasn't that good for black kids or black people during the 30s, 20s, and 40s, 50s, and mostly the 60s. But we had them. But do y'all know what those shows was? Did y'all used to watch them when y'all was a kid? Remember Captain Chesapeake? With his little dinosaur? Remember that? Now, the people in other countries probably don't know this, but we used to have an old man come on Channel 45, WBFF-TV, here in Baltimore. I don't know, and he probably across the country too, but his name was Captain Chesapeake, and he had a dinosaur, and, I mean, he had everything, you know? I remember it because I remember Speed Racer. I remember the Three Stooges he used to show. And I will remember the Little Rascals. He used to host the show, and then he used to talk between the shows. And I'm going to find it for you guys. Okay? And it was a really cool show, guys. It was really cool. I'm going to try to look it up on YouTube. But these shows had black people. Just like Nancy Michelle Nicholson in the 60s. She was the first black woman that had to be on a study TV show, you didn't see that many black people on TV shows. I mean, check it out. I'll Be Witch. What is it called? It was a lot of TV shows in the 60s that you didn't see no black people. Bewitched, My Three Sons, Dennis the Menace, didn't have no black kids, no black people. I mean, study, being on there all the time. I mean, every study actor, African American actor, being on there. Dennis the Menace, My Three Sons, and Bewitched, and all of them didn't have that. Even Gomer Pyle didn't have that, you know? This up. Now I forgot what I'm going to look up. Ain't that something? And it, to me, I'm glad that we did have these shows, you know. Oh yeah, Captain Chesapeake. 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 Now, I really hate these computers. There we go. The 1979 Captain Chesapeake. There you go. There he go. Yeah, the sea monster. And I remember these shows, and the shows used to be The Little Rascals and The Three Stooges. I used to watch this before I go to school, you know.
WBFF TV, Baltimore, Television 45. A shipwrecked sailor found himself in a
place.
Here it goes.
When a wondrous sight appeared to his eye, a derelict boat that saved his life and put an end to his watery strife.
Moni the Monster.
Never dull as they sail toward fun aboard the television hull. Oh.
see you. Well, we have a visit from a lot of our friends this afternoon. They're going to be around with us, and all in all, it should be a great day. And I think we should start the fun right now. A reminder right now that Captain Chesapeake comes to you from WBFF Television 45 in Baltimore. It's 6 bells right now. Time for some more fun.
Yeah. That definitely bring back a lot of memories. Just to see that. Now we're gonna look at hopefully this will upgrade. We're gonna look at the Fallout series and see what's going on with the fire. So I'm gonna catch this, guys. But I just remember those TV shows, and I just watch, I'm just watching on Amazon right now.
Hey everyone, and welcome to What Did I Miss? With the recent overwhelming success of the HBO adaptation of The Last of Us, the new live-action series based on the Fallout games will find a ready and eager audience when it is finally released, hopefully in the later part of 2023. One of the things that The Last of Us adaptation...
They just saying something about...
When referencing the video game that is based
what you
on,
call?
Something that fans Fallout. Of Fallout are sure to catch on to as well when its live series is released. Although we have not seen much in regard to official pictures from the producers of Fallout, fans have posted pictures from the filming of the series online that give us a peek into the world that the show will be based in. Luckily, a fan of this channel was nice enough to send some pictures of a new set where filming took place in the last 24 hours that not only show an almost exact recreation of a location from a beloved game from the franchise, but also may confirm a connection from that game to the live-action series. But before I get into all that, I want to thank you for clicking on this video, and ask that you please hit the like button to help get my video out to more people. If you do want to continue to hear updates about the upcoming Fallout series, make sure you hit the subscribe button as well, so YouTube will let you know when my new videos come out. Some of you may recall that the first time a live depiction of the Fallout universe was mentioned was all the way back in the year 2000, but really things started to amp up for the story around the year 2009, when Bethesda Studios' Anton Howard, the lead developer on many of the Fallout games, started to begin development on a Fallout film. Development stalled on that project, mainly due to trademarking issues, and it was thought that the film would never be made. That is until Amazon became involved in 2020 and announced that they were moving forward with a live-action Fallout series, and that Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan would be producing it alongside Bethesda Studios and Todd Howard. Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan were also executive producers on another big series recently, the HBO remake of Westworld.
This mistake is costing Amazon Prime shoppers big. Are you still using Prime? Because at this point, it's a dinosaur.
Then in 2022, Amazon officially announced that the series was going into production and that Jonathan Nolan would also be directing the pilot episode, with filming to begin in July of the same year.
Besides, okay, I already know all
Jonathan
this.
Jonathan Nolan is mostly known for co-writing the film's
And it's just telling me about the Fallout series that's coming later in the year, and Amazon is directing it. But what I was saying is, I was watching The Little Rascals, and they had this cute little black kid always on it in every episode, you know. And back in the 30s, when The Little Rascals was going, 30s and 40s, they had a lot of white kids, but they had this big bald-headed kid, black kid, and he was so cute, you know. And I think all The Little Rascals is gone now. They all grown up and got old and went on to heaven. But I remember Spanky, Alfalfa, and the other little beautiful African-American kid. And I don't know, y'all remember this, but it just amazed me. It was just so cute, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's just so cute to see these kids on what you call, you know. And I'm amazing that they had black kids during that time, you know? Yeah, I'm just so amazing that they Hollywood put little black kids on there, and that I got a frame of him right now on there. And they had him. I've been watching it since yesterday, and they got the Little Rascals on Amazon, and they got a lot of other stuff on Amazon too, you know. And anybody remember Alfalfa, Spanky, remember them? Buckwheat, remember Eddie Murphy used to play Buckwheat on Saturday Night Live. Well, they got every deity order here, and it's just so amazing that we can get to see these shows, and just think at the time that black and white people were separated, going to their own movie theater, going into their own water fountain and stuff like that and all. But we had a black kid working with white kids doing the dirties, you know. And I'm not surprised, because that's just Hollywood, you know. I don't think Hollywood got too much of Precious Bone in it. I mean, it's probably some prejudiced actors and stuff like that, racist actors and all. But, and I don't want to open a can of bad worms like a person that we do know who did open a can of bad worms when he had the most powerful office in the world. But I don't want to go there and open a bad worms and all, but it's just amazing to see these shows, you know. And I just think about the time, how everything was different, you know. I just imagine how Michelle Nicholson and the guy that played Buckwheat and the other guy who played whatever his name was, and how this, I just wonder how tough they had it on the sets, you know. I mean, what things was different for them? They were separated from the other white kids when they was on the Little Rascals, or what they all played together between scenes, you know. They sit together, they ate together, or did the guy that played Buckwheat and the other guy, the little guy, did they had to go their separate ways, you know? Did they had separate trailers and stuff like that, dressing rooms and stuff? You know, these are things that you think about, you know, when you watch these old shows. I mean, really old shows. I mean, everybody knows the Little Rascals, right? Yeah, I'm sure you do. You ain't that old. You heard your parents or grandparents talk about the Little Rascals, you know, or the Three Stooges. But these are some of the things I just wonder about the actors went through, you know. And I think it's just amazing for me, you know, just to hear, just to see some of this stuff, you know, before I was born. I really hate this thing, you know. It's just amazing. I mean, how many of y'all think it's amazing? I mean, the things that going on today, we got black actors everywhere, black music, rap music, and all. Now, the guy that was changed music was Barry Gordy. No, Barry Gordy changed the history of music. And everybody know the music label that he started. And he got a lot of people out of Detroit. Diana Ross, a lot of people. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. And you know the label, don't you? Yeah, you know the label, the Motor City. At that time, I wish it still was the Motor City. I wish it wasn't like it is today, you know. That's why I'm going to Detroit, you know. I'm going to Detroit. I'm gonna visit there. I'm gonna be careful. I know the deal and everything, and all cities, you know. But I'm gonna have to take these trips and use Uber. And I'm gonna have to map the stuff that I wanna see out, like the Motown recording studio. I can't wait to go there. I think that's gonna be one of my first stops. And I still got a camcorder. I mean, I don't really use the phones that much like some people do. I still use camcorders. No, I'm just old fashioned. I got a little camcorder that I paid from a rental store. I was renting this camcorder and I paid it off, you know. And I had it ever since. And it's been with me all this time. And I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. And it still works and everything, you know. It still works. Still got it plugged up. I mean, hopefully it'll be with me for a while, you know. And I'm going to put this stuff up on my YouTube channel. I'm going to talk about it when I get back from and talk about my trip on podcasts. But this is just one of my trips. I go on the 50 states that I'm going through. I'm going to pick a city or a town, and I'm just going to go to that state. And I'm going to stay there a couple days, maybe a couple weeks. Depends. And it's going to be soon, people. I'm going to have another YouTube channel called Corey Travel Channel. And it's going to be the 50 states adventure. And I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to have a good time. You know, just live my life, you know. Just do the things that I want to do, you know. It's going to be really cool, you know. But these are the things that you'll be thinking about. And just go back and watch the Little Rascals. And just think about how tough they was. Where they was nice to the African American kids that played in the Little Rascals. Or did they had it tough? Did they had it a little better? Or did the white kids had a better in them? You know, I don't know. I wasn't born back then. But some of the old folks probably know. And these just the things that I'd be guessing about and everything. But it is, they good things to think about, because we can't forget the past, you know. And to seem like me, that Hollywood will be like the rest of the country, you know. Black movies for black, and black only black for black actors, and only you only can be on a black movie set, you know. That's the way I was thinking, but it wasn't like that. When you see the shows like Street Dudes, Three Stooges, and the Little Rascals, you already know it wasn't like that. You got a little black kid sitting by two white kids, little white kids, you know. Then you got another black actor, a grown black actor playing it in the show too. I mean, I seen a black actor all the time on the Three Stooges. I'm watching one now, the Little Rascals, and I see another black actor. He's grown and everything. And I just don't. You gotta think about what was their parents' presence, or what they were nice to the black kids on the set. I mean, these are things that I'll be thinking of. I was thinking of, you know, how things was just like that then. And all the things that you had a white water fountain, you had a black water fountain, you had a black bathroom, you had a white bathroom. And I just think things was things like that on the set for them. Did he had to go in his own water fountain? Did the little kid had his own little dressing room? And had his own little, did they had their own little dressing room and their own little makeup person? Everything was separated, or did they had everything together? You know, did Hollywood, these studios who made Little Rascals and all, had everything together? They didn't separate nothing. You know, just remember, the West did not have slavery. California did not have slavery. And I don't think Washington State had slavery. I don't think Nevada had slavery. I don't think Arizona and Utah had slavery. I gotta look into that. But most of the main South states had slavery. Texas, we know that they had that. And you know, Mississippi and Alabama and all of them, and we won't have to get into that, but we know they had that. But I really don't think most of the states had that. And you know, it's just some of the states, mostly to the South, you know, Tennessee and the country music state, you know, we know they had it, you know, but I don't really think it was a problem that much in the West. We know it wasn't a problem in the East. We know New York didn't have it. We know, I don't think Maine had it. Most of the upper states didn't have it, and North and all. And it's just amazing to see how things is back then and how things is today, you know. I mean, I'm watching right now, they had 3 black actors. I mean, no, it's 2, yeah. They had 1 baby and they had 1 other actor. And then they had another guy. He had his little hat on, and he was just a little cute little guy, you know. I mean, anybody ever watched The Little Rascals, y'all probably know what I'm talking about. But the young kids, y'all got to step out the box and watch the old shows, you know, and just remind yourself the price these actors paid so these rap stars and other actors can have doors open, you know? And some of these guys are the legends, you know? The little black American kids, they pay the price so others can be actors, you know? African-American kids, they paid the price, so they opened the doors for Motown, they opened the doors for Tupac, Biggie, Dr. Dre, and all. Some people don't realize that they was the first, you know. Even though these movies didn't go to TV, they had to go to the movie theater to watch them. And they had separate movie theaters. Black people sat up top and white people sat down the bottom. Or just different separation, but they went to see these movies, you know. But, you know, and it was a lot of the trade in the South. I mean, it was a KKK movie they made in the 20s. I can't remember the movie, the name. But they trade African Americans and stuff like that. You know, it was just crazy stuff. You know, just no good, crazy, dumb stuff. But just to see this, some of these movies, you know, as TV shows. That's one of the things I want to talk about, you know. And the other thing I want to talk about, I just want to talk about Star Trek and some of the great captains of Star Trek. Just take a little bit of time and talk about that. And in my opinion, this is my opinion, and I don't give a damn. Don't give a damn about the hardcore Star Trek fans, the YouTubers, or the beloved, so-called beloved Strange New Worlds bullcrap fans. You know, I call them bullcrap fans. Bullcrap. Bullcrap. That's what they are. And we all know Star Trek on fans all know who brought back Star Trek. There's no doubt about it who brought back Star Trek. Even Picard had black actors on it. Beautiful black actors. And Picard was a good show. And I watched it every week. Watching it on down. And I even watched season 1 and 2. Really good. It's not bad. It's great. It's great. And I'm glad Patrick Stewart came back to do Star Trek Picard. Thank you, Patrick Stewart. Wherever you at, thank you. Thank you for coming back and giving your performance at Captain Jean-Luc Picard again. For playing your role on Jean-Luc Picard again, okay? You didn't have to do it. You didn't have to come out and retire, our retirement or whatever you was doing to do that. You know, I love you in the X-Men movies, and I definitely love you in the Star Trek movies and Star Trek TV shows, including Picard. And thank you, creators, executive producers, all y'all, for bringing back Star Trek Picard and bringing back Patrick Stewart. And all the other cast members of Star Trek Next Generation, Michael Dune, what's his name? LeVar Burton, and the two ladies, and John LaFranks, and Brent Spring. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're coming back. We are so thankful for y'all. And Star Trek just give us hope for the future. Even though we see things smoking up between the governments and Russia and Ukraine, and the governments and heating up with Russia, even China. And we don't know what the future is going to be. And if things go south, we know all this history will be wiped out, including the great Star Trek, the great Michael Jackson movie, music, the great King of Pop music, and one of the greatest TV shows of all time, Star Trek, from the original to Deep Discovery, Picard, and the two cartoons, and the two animated series, and the Beloved show. They say it got 40 billion fans, but I think Star Trek got more for 40 million. I think Star Trek got 44 million fans. I think that's how big I think Star Trek is. And once again, I'm going to give my list of the best captains of Star Trek. You know, and here they are. Seneca Macon Green, Michael Burton, Discovery. 10 out of 10. 10 stars, 10 out of 10. And on my tomato thing, popcorn up, 100% popcorn. 100. Best Star Trek yet. It brought back Star Trek. We didn't get Star Trek for over a decade. And it just brought back Star Trek. And that's my opinion, you know.
Mars, which is now characterized by barren landscapes and fierce dust storms, was once a potentially habitable planet with warm temperatures and liquid water bodies. However, the loss of its magnetic field is believed to...
And this crazy computer just keep acting up. That's why. And cutting off and everything. And I gotta keep them on. But my favorite captain is Captain Burton. It's just... There's no way around it, you know. She's on my number one captain list. The next captain is Captain Benjamin Sisko. Great father, great leader, great commander. He played that role really good. And he just one of the best captains in Starfleet. Him and Michael Burton. Okay, 10 out of 10, 10 stars, and on my rotten potato, 100% popcorn. Deep Space Nine, Discovery, 100%. If I can get up at 1,000,000,000%, I'm going to give it 1,000,000,000%. You know, and that's how I feel. Next on my list... You know, Janeway. She was the first captain, woman, to lead the show in the franchise and had the first female captain. Even though they had to find their way back home, Voyager was one of the greatest crews I ever seen in Star Trek. followed right behind the greatest crew, the golden greatest crew, Discovery. But this wonderful captain, she knew what she was doing, and she got the job done. 100% on my Rotten Tomatoes. Popcorn. Like you see the popcorn dump leaning over, well, mine standing up. And my Rotten Tomatoes is 1. And my popcorn, 100%. 10 out of 10. 10 stars. Star Trek Voyager, Captain Janeway. And next great captain is Captain Arch. Rotten Tomatoes, 100%. 10 out of 10, 100%. Because he was the captain. He told the story how the Voyager Comm started and everything. How Starfleet started. What they had to go through and how they was being watched by the Vulcans and humans was new at this, you know. And next on my list is, of course, Jean-Luc Picard, because he's a tough dude, you know. And Patrick Stewart was running for president. If he were running for president and be a Republican, he would be a really good leader. You know, I think he would. No, but I think he was born in another country. He born in England, so he can't run for president. But if he was born here in the United States, I think he would make a great president. You know, really great president. So next on my list, it's Captain Sulu. Even though we never got to see Captain Sulu in action, hopefully one day we will get a Star Trek Captain Sulu. You know? And Discovery and Deep Space Nine, and then the Captain Sulu episode series will be my 3 favorite. You know? That's, even he got dreamt. Probably got grandchildren now, great great grandchildren. We even can do episode on the Sulus, no? Because in Star Trek V, his daughter joined Starfleet, you know? And Chekhov look at her and say, "Your father will be real proud of you," you know? So I don't know why Sulu wasn't in Star Trek V and all that, but. It's just, no. I mean, not Star Trek 5, but Star Trek Next Generation. I don't know why they didn't call him back, you know. But that's Hollywood, you know. Contract agreements and stuff like that. A lot of people didn't come back. Leonard Nimoy didn't come back in Next Generation. But Captain Sulu will be the next captain. And then the next captain after that will be Captain Spock. Hopefully we get a TV show with Captain Spock being the captain and telling his story and journey and stuff. And hopefully we just get a lot of old stuff right in that timeline of Captain Kirk, after Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk goes to be an admiral, and then Captain Sulu, Captain Spock, you know, and all that, you know. Yeah, so hopefully we'll get a TV show of that, maybe in the future. No. If they do that, I will be back at Star Trek. And then the captain of the Lower Decks, She's my next favorite captain. The young lady's mother. I'm just getting into Lower Decks and learning the characters and all. But she's the next best, my favorite captain, you know? And I think it was a live action series. That would be the next great crew right there, you know? Or it'd be a tough crew. The USS Syria, whatever they call it, I can't remember the name of the ship. Gotta start remembering that, you know. But she will be the next captain on my Rotten Tomatoes 100%, 10 out of 10, and all. And, of course, the next captain is Prodigy. You know, the young man. He's my next favorite captain. You know, if that was a live TV show, he would be great. He would be the great, one of the great captains. Even though he's a kid leading a starship and all, but these things we never seen in Star Trek, you know. And I think it would be really great. And Prodigy is really a good show, and I hate the way they split it up, you know. I mean, first half of the first season, then we get the other half of the first season, then we get first half of the second season, then we get the other half of the second season. It's just confusing with that show right there. But I watch it, though. You know, even though it's made for kids, no, I still watch it because of Star Trek. That would be my next captain. And all. And, of course, the long, late, wonderful Captain Christopher Pike. Great captain. Strange New Worlds is a great show. And it's Star Trek. And I'll still give it 100% on my Rotten Tomatoes. 10 out of 10. You know, but he's at the bottom of that list, you know, as captains, you know, and the crew is too. That's just me, you know. I don't care. And fans can get mad all they want. You know, Michelle, Captain Michael Burton, number one, and the rest right between, you know. And I will watch Voyager and Deep Space Nine and Discovery before I watch Strange New Worlds. I will put that last. I'll watch all the other Star Treks and put that over last. Because it's all not that great, you know. It's just getting too much publicity, you know. Oh, it's great. It's back. Star Trek is back. Star Trek been back. Get the poop out of your brain. Star Trek been back. It came back in November of 2017. I mean, September. 2017, and Star Trek been back ever since. Wasn't for the crew of Discovery, it wouldn't been no Strange New Worlds. You know, my favorite TV shows are Star Trek, Discovery, Deep Space Nine, Picard, Voyager, Enterprise, Lower Decks, Prodigy, and, of course, Strange New Worlds. That's my favorite lineup. And I watch all the rules shows over and over. Because Strange New Worlds still haven't proved to me that it can hold. It can hold, you know. Still got to prove to me that you can play that role of Mr. Spock. The legend, Leonard Nimoy. You got to show me that you can be that Mr. Spock. Okay? I'm not going to give you, oh, that's wonderful. This is a wonderful crew. This is a wonderful show. I'm not going to give you that. You're going to have to earn it from me. Leonard Nimoy played that role way well. And for you to come, make up, look like him on Strange New Worlds, and the fans go crazy and just give you credit. You're going to have to earn it. And earning that role, it's going to take 3 to 4 to 5 seasons. You know, I don't hate you as an actor. Nothing. You played the role really good so far. We'll see what season 2 do. You know, when I watched Star Trek, the first season, it didn't impress me. Of course, you got standalone episodes, but it didn't really impress me that much. I guess season 1, like 70%. See what season 2 do. I mean, my opinion. And we just got the other world problems. I mean, the war on Ukraine, and that's still going on. And all I can do is tell y'all, people who listen to this show, just pray for the world, okay? Just pray for the world that it will be peace and everything will calm down. And Russia will stop its evil. Putin will stop its evil. Somebody would just grab him, you know, do something to him, you know, or he'll realize that he's not winning, and a lot of his generals and stuff will talk to him and tell him, let's end this now. No, somebody have to, in his party, have to hate this war. You know, all his generals can't be evil. They just can't be evil. I mean, unless he reached it right out of hell and grabbed them out of hell. They can't be what they are, you know. It's just an evil war. We're seeing Hitler all over again. That's the way I put it. We're seeing Nazi Germany all over again. I can't describe it more better. Anybody else can describe it, just let me know. No, but I can't see it no other way. So I'm back on YouTube. Hit me up on YouTube. And remember, once you see the videos, Corey Whitlock Podcast Show on YouTube, you gotta type that in. When you go to YouTube, type it in the bar, Corey Whitlock Podcast Show. And just type in the bar. Put a like on the show, okay? And ring that notification bell. And every time I put up a video, hopefully YouTube will give you an alert. Let you know that I got new videos up. But this is me. See? This is me. I'm on my podcast. See? And doing what I do love. And bringing it back to YouTube with tapes. I'm old fashioned. I said tapes. Well, recording the show. You know, but glad to see the YouTube chat. Hopefully I see my YouTube fans back. Do it. Subscribe to the channel. Go ahead. Do it. Subscribe to the channel. And put a like. Okay. Do that for me. Will you do that for me? Do that for me. Oh God. I can't see nothing. Do that for me. Put a like. And don't worry about this. This is just a Sunday morning. Relaxing. See, Sunday morning. That's all it is. I don't have to get dressed up to impress y'all. This is a Sunday morning during my talk show. Relaxing before I have to go back to work Monday. And see this, this will be cut. And all this will be gone. If y'all can see it. And I don't know, the light is blinding y'all or not. That's why I'm trying to cut y'all from the light and everything. But the light outside. And to all my podcast fans, y'all can go to YouTube too. Okay. But overseas fans, if y'all have YouTube, y'all get YouTube in your country, go to YouTube, push that like button, subscribe to the channel, and just enjoy the show, okay? And you see what I talk about. Talk about Star Trek and everything. So, I'm going to say goodbye to y'all. It's time to go. Take a break. Got to pick the next show up. And see you when I see ya. Live long and prosper. Live long and prosper. May the force of God be with you. And I see you in the next episode. Ashley, and we love you. And for y'all, live long and prosper. May the force of God be with you. Pray for the world. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your ex-husband, ex-wives. Pray for your children. Pray for your cousins. And all the people that you don't speak to and got rid of and pull away from. Pray for the people who condemn you, who wrong you, and everything. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode. Ashley, and we love you.